I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Away for another Vaughan boundary.
Well, he's a great fieldsman. Philip Tufnell, he often falls over and he's brought it into his batting as well.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Vaughanee and Tuffers Cricket Club podcast brought to you by The Telegraph. Ben, Michael and Phil back with you as we count down to the second test of the Ashes at Lord's. And if it's anything like the first one, we're in for a real treat. Despite entertaining us in the opening test, England head into Wednesday 1-0 down in the series, and some have questioned whether the much-lauded Bazball style will be enough to see them win the series. One such critic is Sir Geoffrey Boycott, and the former England batsman will be joining us in the studio a little later to give us his take on the Ashes so far and his opinion on what he would do to ensure England pick up the urn at the end of July. We'll also reflect on the one-off Ashes test between England and Australia women, and we'll check in with Nick Holt, who'll have all the latest from the England camp, including the news from the latest press conference where they have announced the side for the test at Lord's. So Phil, I have to tell you about my weekend first. I played a bit of cricket on Saturday, and the less said about that, the better. But on Sunday, I watched a cricket match, and a certain promising individual called Michael Vaughan was playing.
Did you have a game of cricket?
I played, Phil. Yeah.
How'd you go?
Yeah, I did okay, actually.
Did you? What game was it?
It was well-being of women in sport.
Yeah. Right.
A great charity, raised a huge amount of money at Victor Blanc's house.
Oh, yes,
in
that's
Oxfordshire.
Right.
Yeah. There was
rather a nice house.
Andrew Strauss was there. Justin Langer, Damien Fleming, Mark Taylor.
Lovely.
Matt Dawson, your pal.
Dawson was there.
Dawson was keeping. He did his hip. He went in the hip flexor. He batted, got a few.
He batted quite well, didn't he?
He used to play. I think he used to play for North fans.
Very leg-sided.
He was a good player, Dawson.
Very leg-sided.
Yeah.
Didn't have much on the offside, but over mid-wicket.
He dislocated his hip.
No, hip flexor went. He danced down to Monty. Monty Panesar was playing. Danced down, whipped one over mid-wicket.
Yeah.
The hip flexor went. But yeah, he could play. He came out to bat with the old-fashioned Good and More Maestro.
Oh,
it
lovely.
Was a vintage. We had to. I had to look. I said, "Look, that's a beautiful bat. But that's from back in the '80s."
Yes, you could put that on Bargain Hunt or something, or Antiques Roadshow.
Yes.
And from where I was standing, his whites didn't look very white.
Well,
it looked like he might have been wearing golf trousers.
He had grey golf trousers on.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Mike, how many did you get?
I got 43.
Yeah, well played.
Yes,
well
very played. Nicely. Yeah, I was very lucky because I went into the tent where we were changing and others was there. And I have no kit. I found a pair of new boots, actually, in my garage, which are obviously my lads. So I thought, they'll do. Got a pair of whites from his wardrobe. They'll do. Turned up to this garage. No kit.
No.
So, and others arrived. And obviously, others' lad, Josh, plays for Middlesex.
That's right.
And he brought one of his bats.
Well, you didn't share a box, did you?
Monty Panesar had a lot of boxes. He had a bag of boxes. I was like, what are you doing? So I've just been playing in some leagues around the world and we got given all these boxes.
You didn't share the soap dish. Oh, don't share the soap dish.
I can say they're quite comfortable these days.
Aren't they?
Yeah, there's a lot more sponge around the rim.
So to speak.
Yeah, so it was comfier. So I borrowed others' lad's bat.
Yeah.
And it was a beauty.
Oh, lovely. Well, it should be.
It pinged.
Lovely.
Yeah, not played for 7 years. I enjoyed it.
So, one person you haven't mentioned was Brian Lara.
Oh, yes, sorry. Sorry, Brian.
BC was there.
Sorry, he was played, yes.
And he was kind of special.
Yeah, he was cool, wasn't he? He got 50 not out, Brian.
Wow, he plays well.
That's Strauss.
Oh,
he got a nice 50.
He was walloping it. There was a boundary, and then there was a good 30 yards to the marquee.
And
then the marquee was 40 foot high. And he was
he hit one over the top of the marquee. I mean, he gave himself a bit of time to get in.
Yeah, yeah.
He chewed up a few balls at the start.
Yeah, he wouldn't get in this Bazball sign.
Yeah, but that was my method, the Bazballer.
Was it?
Yes, I went out Bazballing.
It's even filtered down to you, has
yes,
it?
Yes, I think I ended up getting out to, I don't want to be rude to the gentleman, yeah. but he was probably 70 odd.
Oh, was he? How'd you get out? What, he was stumped?
Caught on the rope. Oh, good catch.
Has Brian still got that big bat lift?
He's still got the same bat as well. He auctioned it off in the marquee afterwards.
That sounds a great day.
A nice sum of money. Yeah, it was lovely.
You turned your arm over as well, Mark.
Oh, yes.
Against Langer, mostly.
Dropped on the boundary.
Oh, who dropped it?
Oh, I don't know. I did speak to him. No. Didn't speak to him. It's an easy goober straight to him.
Goober?
Yeah, absolute straight to him. Monty could have caught one
off
me as well.
You had gone over the boundary a couple of times as well. He had dispatched.
Yeah, he'd hit me for a couple.
But he was wearing the Vaughan and Tuffers Cricket Club cap.
Yes, he did, yeah.
Good
yeah, nice.
So he battered in that.
Yes. I have to say, I haven't played for years. When was the last time you played?
Oh, years.
I haven't played. I think it was 7 years that I've actually played a game of cricket.
Yeah. I think the last one we played perhaps might have been at Derby.
Yeah, what year was that?
I don't know, about 7 years ago.
Yeah, that would have been my last game.
Yeah, me too.
It would have been my last game. I enjoyed it.
No.
I honestly did.
Did you really?
I enjoyed it.
You look like you were enjoying it.
I enjoyed it. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it. I generally enjoyed it. By the way, I put your name down for next year as well.
Thanks
so
for that.
Phil, you're in.
Okay.
Because it's a lovely day and it's a great charity. And I said, yeah, I'll come back next year. Lovely food. Glass of vino at lunch.
Lovely. That's the way it should be played.
Yeah, very nice.
Right. Well, there are other cricket matches going on, so we should probably have a chat about them. England have announced their side. Only one change. Josh Tong in for Moeen Ali. What do we make of that? No spinners for Lords.
Bit of grass, I reckon, going to be left on it after Edgbaston. I mean, it was a graveyard for the seam bowlers, so I should imagine there'll be a little bit of grass left on there. They've gone in with the four seamers. Joe Root did a job. Up at Edgbaston, so I don't mind that, really. I know Ray and Army was in there. That would have been a bit of a wild card sort of pick, I think.
Yeah.
Mo's obviously not quite right with his finger. So, yeah, I mean, where's Mark Wood, though? Is he injured? I'm not quite sure.
Well, he must have an issue. I mean, the problem I have with a lot of these bowlers that aren't in the side, I mean, Chris Wokes has played a bit of county cricket, but Mark Wood has not played any cricket.
No.
He didn't play any game time, so he's clearly got some issue with that elbow.
Yeah.
Tong on the back of his fifer against Ireland. Clearly England are going to play on a surface that's going to offer them more lateral movement.
Yeah.
They got pretty much nothing at Edgbaston. And, you know, against an Australian side, it surprised me the pitch that they played on at Edgbaston to play on a flat one with the Aussies having more pace. A batting unit that plays the attritional way a bit more so than England's and would always bat themselves to bat a long period of time on a road. Lateral movement will bring England into the game, but I don't think Hazelwood, Cummins, Green, Stark or Boland, whichever way they go, I don't think they'll be too disappointed about seeing a bit of grass on the pitch. And also with England's selection, they have to bowl first.
Yeah.
You know, you don't bat first when you've picked all your seamers. You've got to bowl first. England, over the last year and a half, for me, they are a better team chasing the game, so bowling first and seeing a target. It's almost like one-day cricket. Seeing a target, I think they're better. They just get a little bit confused batting first. I thought they got confused in the second innings at Edgbaston, batting first, not realising or understanding what number they needed to get to. Do they completely go Bazball all the time, which they did, and it offered a few nice easy ones for particularly Nathan Lyon. So, yeah, England have to bowl, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if Australia did exactly the same against this England team.
No, absolutely. I feel a bit sorry for Chris Wokes, actually. I mean, he's got a fabulous record.
It's an unbelievable record at Lords, hasn't
it? Unbelievable.
I was looking at it. I can't remember the exact figure.
He's got about 12 or something.
Yeah, well, so I think it was like 62 with the bat.
Yeah.
And 11-something with the ball.
Ridiculous. But, I mean, that's what we were missing, I think. We were missing that little bit of pace. But different surface, completely different surface. That's the beauty of Test cricket. All these different grounds are going to have, different grass and different sort of whether it's going to spin and what have you. That's why we love Test cricket. So I feel a bit sorry for him. But, you just...
Tell you what, Phil, though. Yeah. If the ball does a bit...
Yeah.
England's top three is not a top three that I think offers you too much confidence if the ball does anything.
So I was going to ask that. We keep on saying that this is the next big test of Bazball, but this really is.
Yeah.
Well, they're basically going to try and play Bazball against the odds of a pitch because, you know, if you look at when Bazball has been at its most effective, it's when the ball hasn't moved laterally because the batters can then just hit through length and get on top. If the ball has done anything, South Africa last year at Lord's first innings got rolled.
Yeah.
Because the ball did something.
New Zealand at Lord's got rolled.
Yeah. So when the ball just does a bit, I think, you know, particularly good bowling attacks, I don't think they'll mind. Yeah.
That bit of slope, Mike, as well. Yeah. That little bit of slope is going to be doing a bit.
There was that period of play up at Edgbaston. Where
third afternoon,
yeah.
But also, if you look at, you know, a pitch that's going to offer you a little bit, you generally do lose a couple of early ones when it does a bit with the quality of the seamers. Johnny Bairstow at 7, and then you've got Broad at 8.
Ooh, the Nighthawk.
No mowing at 8 for me looks... It makes England's batting look very, very thin. And Johnny Bairstow in particular, who was in decent form with the bat...
Very good form.
...at Edgbaston, he will go out to bat knowing that Australia are one wicket away from potentially the tail. And that's why I think Stark will play.
Oh, yes.
You know, I think they've got selection wrong, Australia. Stark should have played at Edgbaston. Yeah. I think Boland would have been a menace here at Lord's with the green grass and the slope. But I think they will go Stark. And I think it'll be because, clearly, he's a very good bowler with over 300 test wickets. But I think they'll fancy Stark to clean out 8, 9, 10, 11 quite quickly.
And it just gives them a little bit more with the tail as well, Stark. Mm. He can bat a bit, can't he?
Yeah, he can, left-handed.
I think selection, you're right. I think that we should have gone with perhaps a tongue or a wood at Edgbaston.
Mm.
They didn't read the pitches quite right.
No, I don't think neither team. I don't think anyone was expecting it to be so slow and so placid.
But it was dull.
We'll be in for an amazing game again because, I mean, I've never known, Phil, in our time as England players, particularly in Ashes series, I would not say boo to a goose. I wouldn't predict anything. I'd just try and play and let my game do the talking. This England side, it's like a heavyweight boxing contest that I spoke
trash
about.
Trash talk.
Just coming out. So it's almost if England are 1-0 up.
Yeah.
You got Zach Crawley, who, by the way, averages 30 in Test cricket. Who's not set the world alight. He played nicely in the first innings, hit that great four off the first ball. Saying they're going to win by 150.
They'll just be putting that up in the dressing room like the old football, you know, like the footballers do. Have a look at that, boys. There won't be any need for a team.
Ollie Robinson said the odds are just negative.
Yeah, I know. He's doubled down, hasn't he? I mean, he's obviously embracing the number one villain down under tag that he's earned.
Which I like a lot. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's so many. I mean, our good friend who works with Jim Maxwell on the radio.
Yeah.
He's backpaid headlines for a comment he's made about Johnny Bairstow.
What did he say? I didn't think I saw that.
He said England need a keeper.
Mm.
And he says Johnny Bairstow's not a wicketkeeper, he's a part-time. He also mentioned his weights and he's overweight. I can't comment on that, but this is what happens in the Ashes series. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, you make a comment.
Yeah.
It's going to get headlines. And I always got taught in our time, Phil, was don't say a lot because there'll be headlines made anyway.
Yeah.
So don't give them more headlines and more to talk about. But it's the England way. And Ollie Pope said, if we go 2-0 down, we'll think we can win 3-2.
It's going to be some series. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but I think Australia might win at Lord's. We've got a horrific record at Lord's, really. I mean, we won...
The Aussies have lost twice in the history of Ashes cricket at Lord's.
Yeah.
And the Ashes have been going on a long time.
So we're going to have to, England will have to do something a bit special at Lord's.
I look at the two performances at Edgbaston. I thought England played very well. Actually, I thought Bazball worked at Edgbaston. Just didn't get over the line. I think the Australians can get a lot better than England can. If that makes sense, I think Australia have got more in terms of a ceiling of improvement,
Labuschagne Smith,
than I think England have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, their three main batters really didn't perform. 80 up at runs. Edgbaston.
Yeah. I can't see Khawaja getting any, but I didn't think he was going to get any at Edgbaston.
Well, that's him booked in for bed and breakfast at Lord's.
Yeah. Well, Marnus likes Lord's, doesn't he? Didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, the one thing with those two, though, I mean, they're under some pressure going to Lord's.
Yeah. True.
You know, well, number one, number two-ish in the world, or number two and number three in the world.
Well, Joe's now number one, isn't he?
Yes, that's right. So, well done, Joe. They're going to be under some pressure to perform. Mm. So, you know, it's not as clear-cut as we're making.
Joe Root now, Phil, is the number one batter in the world and England's number one spinner.
There you go. Does he do anything? You know, I mean, he just does it all.
He does everything, yeah. He's like the ultimate all-rounder now.
Yeah. He bowled nicely.
Very nice.
He bowled nicely.
Very nice.
We could have done with Mo's finger not being bust up, though, at Edgbaston.
So, ahead of the second test between England and Australia at Lord's, who better to have in the pod than the one and only Sir Geoffrey Bodquet, who is making his second appearance on the podcast. The first test was pretty entertaining, Sir Geoffrey. Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed the cricket. There's nothing that you couldn't enjoy. I mean, it kept you on the edge of the seat. It was thrilling, exciting. England were winning nearly every session, but they didn't win the match. Mm. And that should tell them something for the next test. They lost sight of the fact that the object is to win. And then you want to entertain, yes, by all means. But why can't you win and entertain? But if you lose sight of the object, I call it hubris, which is when you get ahead of yourself, you know, and that's what they did. They stopped thinking. I mean, if they're just going to entertain, they might as well be a circus. I mean, that's it. Go professional. Be a professional circus around the world. Fine.
Harlem Globetrotters.
Correct. But win. And if you ask people in England, do you want to win the Ashes or do you want to entertain and lose? I know what the answer will be. Yeah. And you do.
Yeah. So what would you have done differently to have got England over the line?
Just be pragmatic, practical, common sense. I think most ex-players would have said they wouldn't declare. You've got one of the best batsmen in the world, probably the one who's playing the best in the world anyhow at this minute. Yep. He's 100 and some not out playing beautifully. You've got Robinson at the other end who can bat. He's not a mug. You might get 20, 30, 40 more runs. You get as many as you can first innings when the pitch is at its best. You know, when the pitch is going to deteriorate, you want to get it while it's the best. Second innings, they threw wickets away, a number of them. They were scoring 5 and 6 and over, which was wonderful cricket. And they're trying to score 8, 9, 10 and over. I mean, Joe Root didn't get stumped. He got run out. Mm. He just ran at it, didn't he? He don't do it. He doesn't need to do that.
Yeah.
He scores off nearly every ball. He can dab it for one, push it, place it, play beautiful shot. Why the hell is he running down the pitch? Johnny Bairstow sweeping. Every time I see him sweep a reverse sweep, he probably does it because he thinks everybody else does it in the modern age. He's useless at it. I'm totally useless. I've seen him since, I've known him since he was a kid. His dad was a big friend of mine. But I'd be saying, Johnny, what are you doing? Hit him out the park. Because if he hits it decently, it's 10 rows back. If he hits it well, it's going over the stand, Andy. He'd lying over the stand. Look at last year when he was playing attacking. He was hitting people 20 rows back, got everybody off the seat, didn't he? Magnificent hitter. He shouldn't be playing any cross bat on the floor shots. Hit him out the park. Oh, look, he could go on. And that opening batsman, he looks as if he can play a bit, that left-hander.
Yep.
But if he keeps on nibbling outside off stump and trying to shovel it down gully, he's going to keep getting out.
Right?
Yeah, he's going to keep getting out. I forecast it in the Telegraph. When you play quicker bowlers and better bowlers, and you're starting to nudge it down through a gully in there, which he gets a lot of runs with in county cricket, the better bowlers, it tends to slip off the back. It hits you before you're ready for it, and you've got a thick edge, or it doesn't quite go to point, it goes to gully. And it's no good saying one was a brilliant catch. My answer to that always, when I hit it like that, is don't hit it there. My fault for hitting it there, else you can't catch it. Stop doing it, And I've never heard anything as stupid as just talking to these two here of an opening bat saying, I don't like to leave a ball. It's one of the most important factors of every great opening batsman, what to leave. Because if you can leave well outside off stump, you make them bowl straighter. When they bowl straighter, you pick them off on the onside, which is the easy side. It's not rocket science. I didn't make that up. Every opening batsman who's been any good knows that. So I'm not pretending I've just learned it like everybody else. Leave it, leave it, leave it. They don't like to waste a new ball, do they? You know, they're not going to waste it. They're going to bowl straighter. Then it's easy.
Yeah.
Thank you. My safe side.
How about selection? Because they've gone with broadly the same side for Lords as well. Only one change with Tung coming in instead of Moeen Ali. Are you happy with the selection?
Where's Mike Wood?
Well, we think he might be injured, don't we?
Must be injured. Must be injured.
He's the most expensive cricketer England have ever had. I'd like to be his agent. But how many balls he's bowled and how much money he's had. He's a lovely lad. Everybody knows that. And he bowls very quick. And actually, I thought Lords was perfect for him. Hostile. There's always a bit in Lords, even on a flat pitch and a good day. The slope, 8 foot some inches. There's always a bit there to just upset the batsman. I thought he'd be perfect for him. And he's unfit.
Yeah.
He hasn't played. How could he be unfit if you haven't played?
Well, that's probably it. You don't play. No. You bowl yourself, you know, Philip.
Yeah.
If you haven't bowled much, you don't bowl as well. You need a long bowl. You get into rhythm. You get into nick. Just like us batsmen need to bat. When we get 100, we're going to get another 100. And bowlers are the same. When they get in rhythm, they want to bowl. You bowl yourself into fitness.
Yeah.
He can't. He don't bowl.
Boys, what do you mean? The first test, it was, you know, they play this expansive game, but it was the chances, wasn't it, in the field? They were just lacking that sharpness out in the middle. What do you put that down to?
Well, Johnny in particular, people go on about. I personally wouldn't have played him till the third test at Headingley. When you've been out nearly 8 months, two breaks in the foot, the ankle ligaments are bound to be damaged the way his foot went. He's not played for so long. That's a lot of rustiness.
Yeah.
I would have said, stay at Yorkshire, play every game, 20-20, 50 overs, championship, bat, just move, get into the feel of competitive cricket. Then he had a better chance. And I always felt, my Rachel at home, I said, listen, if he has a bad test or so, they'll be on his back. You know, because they're always going on about Folks, but Folks is a good keeper. But look, there's no guarantee Folks would have caught everything and made the stumping. Mm. No guarantee.
He stays in the team, though, even if he doesn't keep, though, for me, Johnny B, doesn't he?
And who do you drop, though?
Well, I'm not sure.
You can't just sustain the team. You've got to tell me who you're going to drop. And they don't want to drop anybody at this minute.
No.
And my point is, England are looking at it from what he did last year. And last year, fantastic. I thought his innings at Trent Bridge was the best I've seen for a long time.
Yeah.
Fantastic innings. But he's been out a long time. We all get rusty when we've been out. Even his batting was a bit rusty. And I just felt for him and to get the best out of him, but obviously, you know, this guy, Folks, is a good keeper. Mm. But I've played a long time for England and we've always played, had this public debate, pick the best keeper. And when we have, we've got rid of him quite quickly. I mean, we've gone back. Look at Alex Stewart.
Yeah.
Wonderful opening batsman, Alec. Yeah. Great record, you know, better record opening than ours batting lower down.
Yeah.
But they wanted the safety net of an extra batter. And I played with Jim Parks. It was a wonderful batter for Sussex. And Keith Andrews was the best wicketkeeper in England in the 50s. Beautiful hands. He played a few tests. Now he's got to go. We want a batsman keeper. Bob Taylor was a lovely wicket. Beautiful hands. I'll have Alan Knott.
Yeah.
He can keep, but he can bat as well. And it goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
So it's okay these people sat outside the game pontificating about let's have the best keeper. And then when we're short of runs, they'd like somebody to come in and bat. Now, you can't have it both ways. Mm. The thing that we've done with Johnny, we've not given him the best chance to get rustiness out of his system. That's all. There's nothing wrong with having a batsman keeper. You know what you're going to get and you know where you're slightly deficient from a great keeper and you balance the runs he's going to make and so forth against maybe the keeper's going to make an odd catch more. You balance that and you make your decision, your judgment, captain and coach. Whoever the captain is or coach, I don't say one's right and one's wrong. You make your decision. But we haven't, as a team, England, given Johnny the best chance for him to play his best, to wicketkeep his best, and for England to get the best out of him.
He'll be better for the run, though, won't he? He'll be better for the run.
Yeah, but I hope he doesn't miss anything at Lord's because they'll be on his back again.
Yeah.
And again.
Yeah.
And they'll keep on his back because he's got off to a bad start. It's hard to get the monkey off your back then, isn't it?
Batted beautifully, though. we were in trouble when, until he came in. That 80 he got really did sort of turn the tide a bit. So
he'd have got another 80 if he hadn't been sweeping.
I know, they had all the men out, Jeff.
They had
all the men out. He'd done them. He'd done the hard work.
Just
he'd got
nip
them all
it
out.
Ones, twos.
The only way they could have got out was Boulder LBW. Mm. So just knock. I agree with
it's
you.
It's cocked up England before, you know. This Nathan Lyon bowling round the wicket before he came here.
Good bowler.
They used everybody over the wicket most of the time. And he goes round the wicket immediately. He doesn't give them the offside so easily, which they used to. And suddenly it just gets in the head. It's just a different line. Mid-off, mid-on, straight. Mid-off, mid-on, straight. And when you're in and nobody's back, hit him out of the park. It's quite simple, really.
What about, so Edgbaston in the pitch was placid, no lateral movement. It looks like Stuart Broad, Jimmy Anderson, a little bit of a moan about the pitch, has got what they want at Lord, bit of green grass. If you're in charge of English cricket, playing the Bazball way, what pitches would you want to play on?
Well, good pitches, because you can't play the Bazball way if the ball's moving all over the place and swinging. They're going to nick a few and going to have a low score somewhere. So I want a good pitch, but I want pace in them. Get some pace in them and flat. And also, you've got to have decent pitches. You're not going to get spinners in the game if we start on green tops or there's damp in them. We want them dry. We want them good for batting. Win the toss, bat. That tells you everything. And then they'll turn, like Edgbaston turned. Surely you want pitchers to turn later on.
Not if you haven't picked a spinner. Well, we've got Joe Root. But
this is a point the week after. So, Edgbaston, let's go back to Edgbaston. For 90% of the game, England played well.
Absolutely, and we're winning.
So, yeah, exactly. So the 10% that they didn't get right, which they should have got right if they'd have played a little bit smarter, the week later, they've almost ripped up what happened at Edgbaston and gone to a green top, and that concerns me.
Yeah.
Well, they could lose because they can bowl, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, come in, Hazelwood. I mean, wow, if they're all fit, and I know, you know, they've had a niggle or two with his heel, as Hazelwood. But if when they're all fit and going, they're the best attack in the world with Nathan Lowery. Yeah. Let's be honest. Mm. Who's going to be better than them? Put your hand up. You can ring up if you want, and I'll tell you, this is the best attack around when they're fully fit. I know Hazelwood.
What's your number? Just so they know where to ring.
I'm getting knotted. You know? You can find me. I'm not difficult to find. But listen, Hazelwood's a little bit underdone because he's had this heel problem. But it looked okay. Don't probably not over bowl him because he don't bowl up, but they're good bowlers. Yeah. Oh, look, you can tell me sides in history have been better and this and that, but let me tell you, around, they're probably the best around. Michael, if we were batting, you'd be saying, hey, these lads
can bowl. And
that's
what concerns me, boys, about, you know, this England side playing the Bazball way, and I've loved it the last year and a half.
Yes,
what they've done for Test cricket, the England side, it's been great.
Yeah.
All right, they didn't get it right towards the back end at Edgbaston, but it concerns me that a week after playing well at Edgbaston, it sounds like they might have just kind of ripped up what happened at Edgbaston and gone, right, we need a lot of lateral. I don't think they need a lot of lateral movement because if there's a lot of lateral movement, I think this Bazball way will come unstuck.
Come unstuck.
Do you think that's the bowlers have got a bit too much sway and they're lobbying? And
well, all I'm saying that the two senior pair, are, you know, you could argue our greatest pair in Broad and Anderson.
No, Larwood, Truman, look at the records. You're kidding me.
I said you could argue.
No, I can't even argue. I love them. I think they're very good. You won't earn one word of me against them. But don't tell me I've seen the. You want a debate on it? Yeah, I'll give you one right now on air or after air. Don't tell me. I know the figures.
Well, I'm just saying you could argue that Broad
and
Anderson
only you could argue, not me.
Yeah, absolutely, and I could. But what I'm saying is Broad at Edgbaston, I think it was in his column that he wrote, he complained about the
Johnny pitch. Complained.
Jimmy Anderson with the Telegraph, a great article. He
described
said
it is
done. Yeah, and he said if the Ashes are going to be played on those wickets like Edgbaston, he's done. This is a bowler that's nearing 700
Michael,
test match
you
wickets.
You know what I'd say to them both?
Go on.
You can whinge about the pitch if you want, both of you. Wonderful bowlers you are. But who got wickets? Broad. Who was winning the match 90% of the time? England, on those surfaces. If you make a green top, it's no guarantee that you're going to come out best against their attack. It's no guarantee you're going to win the toss. It's always 50-50.
And this is my concern, that actually, you end up when you lose... almost gambling too much the week after on something that you don't need to gamble on.
No, all they have to do
is be sharper in the field.
Yeah, hold a couple of catches and that's a different result.
And also be common sense with the batting.
Mm.
You know, there were a couple of decisions there. Like I've mentioned, declaring, giving your wickets away, second innings, was a bit silly. You know, got carried away with themselves. Stick to the plan. You're not there to entertain. You're there to win the test. The way you're playing entertains. And the way you've played has entertained. A lot of people around the world have loved it. Fantastic. But your job is to win and play well. That's what the England public
want. What would you be saying to someone like, we were saying before you came about the headlines this last few days, England players, Ollie Robinson have said that the Aussies are negative, saying, wait a minute, you're 1-0 down. Zach Crawley has said that England will win this week at Lord's by 150.
Too much talk. That's what I'd say. I say, listen, don't talk, perform. You're making too much noise, all of them. You're 1-0 down. Mm. They're laughing. You're the ones that should be crying. You should have won the match easily and you didn't. You messed up. You've literally messed up.
Yeah.
It wants some straight talking in the dressing room. Instead of being bulled up all the time as, oh, we're brilliant, we play great, we're thrilling the world with our cricket. I thought, hey, hang on a minute. We lost here.
Mm. Well, they've lost two of the last three games.
Mm. We've lost here. There you are. Mm. It's time you get your head straight. Mm. Some practical, pragmatic, common sense. And I'd say to everybody, keep your mouth shut.
Shut it.
Shut it.
Remember that press conference you went in? What did you say to the press when you walked in?
Yeah.
What did you say?
Well, he said something to me, didn't he? Yeah. I can't remember.
You were, shut it.
Shut it.
My press conference.
And I say, here, I stand in the room. Look, I've heard bowlers like Jimmy Winge before. I've been in dressing rooms. Oh, and we're unlucky and this. And I said, and I just say, I take it for about 5 minutes. Say, that's nonsense. You bowl rubbish. Jimmy could have bowled better. Jimmy's a really class performer. We all know that. He bowled okay, but he didn't bowl his best. He's admitted himself. So bowl better. You know, hold your catches or make the stumping. Don't declare when you did. Don't give wickets away. Look at yourself. Instead of calling names to the opposition about the way they play and what they do, doesn't matter how they do. What they do is no concern of yours. Whatever they put in front of you, the opposition, your job is to better it and win the game. Is that the object?
Mm.
Yeah.
Better it, win the game. There's too much talk. I tell you, they've got ahead of themselves. They've got swelled-headed. They're loving their own publicity about what they've done. You can't. Once you do that, you know, you stop playing your best. You believe in your own publicity. Whenever you do that, well, the game bites you on the bum, doesn't it? And it does, doesn't it? Edge bastard. And if you're not careful, it's going to bite them twice. And when you go 2-0 down with three, I don't think we've ever come back from losing the first two and winning the next three in the history of the game. I was looking it up. And the other thing is, they may be capable of doing that. If they're lost at Lords, they may be capable. Because I think they are slightly better than Australia. Well, if they play their real best with common sense. But in England, nothing's certain with our weather.
Yeah.
You might get a test match rained off, totally. Mm. And then even if you win two, they've still got the Ashes, haven't they? Mm. And you can't be... Sport is never certain. You go to an FA Cup final, two teams, you say, oh, it's 10-1, they'll win. But every now and again, something has happened, hasn't it? Mm. And it's same with sport. I would just tell them, keep quiet. Let's see you play better. Using some common sense and win. And then when you've won, the winners can laugh and the losers can please their so-and-so selves. That's all. They go and win the next one. But you haven't won one yet.
Yeah.
God, there's too much talk. I mean, they're talking as if they're the greatest team that's ever been invented, aren't they? They're all talking about this and that and what they do. And I look at their averages and their records and I think, wow, look at the batting. Jiminy cricket, there's only Joe Root who looks like a quality player.
Talking of talk, what do you make of the Ollie Robinson controversy? Controversy, in inverted commas. In your day, before there were stump mics and things, would the bowler send the batsman off with a few choice words, or was Fred Truman just sort of all eyebrows and stony silences?
No, we didn't get slagging like that. No, I didn't get that. If I did, I didn't listen. I just went. They were swearing at me. I didn't listen.
Yeah.
I didn't listen. I didn't hear it. I can play golf when I'm fit to play. And you can make a noise or anything. You know how they go, and oh, don't make a noise and everything. Quiet. It doesn't bother me. I just focus on what? And this is what I'm saying. England should focus on one thing. They're playing well, play better, all the things we've mentioned, but win. The way you're playing is excitement enough for all of us. We're on the edge of our seat. We're loving it. You're doing good. You've changed our cricket. Never mind the world cricket. You've changed our cricket. That's what we want. That's what you're paid to do. Play well for England, but win. Losing, nobody wants to see England lose. Nobody wants to see the Ashes gone at Lord's. Just play well. So, look, I understand his emotion and passion. I'm glad you've got that. I don't like to see swearing at people.
Yeah.
No, there's no need for that.
No.
There's no need for that. Look, we want standards in the game.
Jeffrey, you've come to the exciting part of the podcast where Phil has a little segment called Either Or. You can only choose one or other.
So Jeffrey remember. Oh. He remember from last year.
I remember.
Well, you've got different questions this time.
He gave me some rubbish before. Last
I've seen these. These are good.
I bet. You must have written them for him. I'm not sure he can write.
Right. Now, big Man United fan. Yes. Jeff, we all know that. Number one on the Either Or, 09 treble or 2023 treble?
09.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't think we were in a position to buy as many players as they are today. You know, there's that much more money around and that to buy the best players. And I'm not against Man United. I'm one of the Man United supporters. I'm thrilled to bits for City to win. I don't get this where I'm red and blue. I hate. No. I like play good football. I like watching them. Well played. I'm very happy for them.
Yeah.
No, I think that there's more money around today, isn't there?
Yeah. Okay, number two. Oh, this is interesting. We've been discussing this. Folks or Bairstow?
With the gloves.
With the gloves, sorry, yes.
When he's playing well, Johnny.
Yeah.
I want a batting keeper.
Yeah. Okay.
Fair enough.
Another one. Stokes or Cummings?
Oh. Stokes or Cummings?
Really?
Well, he's got a bad leg at the minute. He's playing on one leg. He's hardly batted. He's hardly bowled in the IPL for months.
Yeah.
Now, another time, at this minute, Cummins.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Number four, Lords or the Oval?
Oh, Lords, the Mecca.
There you go.
The best ground in the world. Look, it's 8 foot 4 inches or something slope. When you first see it, you go, this it? You can't believe you have such a slope. But it's the Mecca, man. You want to go watch cricket. You want to play there. You want to get 100 there. Yeah. And I've got a few.
How many?
You got?
I've got 4 test hundreds and a few against Middlesex.
Nice.
I've got a double 170. Yeah. I got a few.
My best one,
I think. Bicentenary test. Australia. I got 120 odd not out.
Did you? Ooh.
And Both said second innings. Fire is. I said, yeah. Don't get out. I said, how do you mean? He said, don't get out, or else we'll lose the test. I said, oh, Christ. Just going out. I'm just putting my pads on, going out to bat. I said, yeah, don't get out. He was captain in. Yeah.
120.
Nice.
Was it fast bowling or?
Nah.
Nah.
Pasco.
Last one. Boris or Theresa May?
Theresa May.
What's that?
Well, he's a nutter, Boris.
Perfect.
Great to see you.
Love to see you.
Nice to have you on again. Thanks, won't you?
Yeah, sure, anytime. Yeah.
Excellent.
We're joined now by Nick Holt, the Telegraph's chief cricket correspondent, who is reporting directly from the Harris Garden at Lord's, has just been at the press conference. Obviously, the main talking point is Moeen Ali's out and Josh Tung is in. Has Moeen been dropped, or is that a fitness thing?
No, it's a tactical decision. They've seen the greenness of the pitch and decided that four seamers is the way to go. And I think originally they would have liked to pick Mark Wood, but Wood's still recovering from his elbow injury, and they just felt that he's fit enough to start the test match, but not necessarily to bowl four or five days, you know, the last 4 or 5 days. So that's why they've gone with Josh Tung, who impressed Stokes during the Ireland test match. He dismissed Steve Smith in county cricket for Worcestershire, and he's one of those guys that can bowl, can reach paces of 90 miles an hour, not consistently, but can clock those sort of speeds once he's into a spell. And they've obviously decided that they want that sort of point of difference. I mean, it's the first time they haven't picked a spinner in a test match, under Stokes. And I think he did that somewhat reluctantly, but looking at the pitch, it's probably the right decision.
You say looking at the greenness in the pitch. Was it just reacting to the greenness in the pitch, or do you get the sense that they might have asked for a bit of greenness in the pitch?
Well, that's a very good question. There's certainly no lawnmower going near it today. So I think they've probably got the pitch they wanted, probably the pitch that Jimmy Anderson wanted. It's always interesting, isn't it, that we hear a lot about flat and fast pitches until you lose an Ashes test. and then it goes back to what the tried and tested method of beating Australia in England. So they've produced a pitch for Broad and Anderson, and they feel that Joe Root did a good enough, reliable job last week at Edgbaston to bowl those fill-in overs of spin.
Yeah. Is he going to be asked to do more? Presumably he will, to pick up the slack, but are they happy with him sort of bowling long periods of long overs?
I don't think so. I suspect that they're hoping that that won't be the case, because the seamers will make short work of Australia, and it won't be a long test match. The weather forecast as well is damp, so you suspect decent bowling conditions. Possibly we'll see a bit more Harry Brooks' filthy medium paces off the wrong foot as well. He was having a bowl in the nets this morning. The question is how fit Stokes is, and that's again. He was asked about that at the press conference, and he said he felt fine. He felt really pleased that he got through that longish spell on the last day of the Edgbaston Test match. But I think with Stokes, he doesn't really know from one day to the next how the knee is going to react. And so they've picked the young lad Tung, who they feel is a guy who can bowl quite a few overs for the guys who are, should we say, somewhat older and less able to bowl those long spells.
Yeah. And what was the general mood? Because a lot of the chatter coming out of the camp after Edgbaston and leading up to Lords has been really very bullish, given that they've just lost the first test of the series. More of the same?
More of the same. Defiant. Admitted that really the mistakes they made at Edgbaston were less tactical, more technical, dropping catches, bowling no balls, those sort of things, which I think they feels down to the lack of cricket, which is their decision in the end, that they decided to on this itinerary. But there's no question that there's going to be no stepping back from the way that they approach their cricket. Obviously, they're going to have to adapt to conditions slightly if they bat first, and they're putting an awful lot on the toss. And when we spoke to Brendan McCullum, actually in this Harris Garden at the start of the summer, he said that they didn't want any snake pit pitches, and that was what they meant by the flat and fast comment. They wanted to take the toss and luck out of the equation when it came to winning test matches. So it feels like they've gone back to that slightly.
Yeah, interesting. Nick, thank you. As usual, thank you very much.
No worries. Thank you very much.
And of course, the men lost their first test. The women also lost to Australia.
Oh, good game.
Good game, though, right?
Yeah.
Some fantastic performances.
The spinners.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Tammy Beaumont obviously got 208, so the first double ton.
A Demek.
Sophie Eccleston, 10 for 192 off 77.1 overs.
Lovely.
She put in a huge stint.
Yeah.
But then, as so often happens, the Australians go one better. And Ash Gardner, she did even better, got 12 for 165.
Yeah, very impressed with the spin bowling. I caught a bit of it on the telly and listened to it. And it was one of those nice pitches as a spin bowler with lots of sort of natural variations. So you'd bowl the same ball, some would turn, some would go straight on. But, I mean, there was a high level of skill there. And then the pitch started to just disintegrate, and England were in a little bit of trouble. But a fantastic game of cricket. Went all 5 days, which is great.
Yeah,
great double hundred. I thought England would struggle to get up, you know, level, and they were only, what, 7 or 8 runners behind.
They should have got a lead.
Yeah.
Oh, without any question. I thought they were on for a 50 to 80 run lead at one stage, and they should have got there. I was crying out for them to open the bowling with Sophie Eccleston in the
second.
Well,
there you go. Why not?
Yeah. Crying out. She's the best bowler in the world.
Yeah.
The game's parity.
Yeah.
All right, she might not fancy bowling with a brand new ball. It's not easy.
They let Australia back in there that evening session, none from 90-odd, wasn't it?
They got a good opening stance. Yeah. I'm going, where's the best bowler?
Yeah.
I always say, what would the opposition least like to face?
Yeah.
You know, when they stroll out there and you've got Sophie Eccleston with a new ball, having got wickets in the first innings, and you know you're on a pitch that's offering a little bit for the spinner.
Yeah.
I thought that was a tactical manoeuvre that could have been different for England, but it was a great game of cricket.
Yeah,
good crowds.
Coach John Lewis said England might have to be a bit more aggressive in the coming games. It's obviously going to be shorter formats.
It's like the new kind of cool, isn't
Let's
it?
Let's go harder.
Just keep going harder. England men's 1-0 down. We're not 1-0 down. We're better than them. They're negative. We're going to win by one. We're going to go harder. The England women 1-0 down. I've got to go harder. I'm like, whew.
I think they could take a lot from that test match, though, because a similar kind of test match-ish to the men's at Edgbaston, you know, had the chances there to beat this Australian side, which has sort of got this aura about it that they're untouchable. So I think that they are, instead of being disappointed with that, I'd flip that and say, listen, let's go out there in the one-day games. You nearly got across the line. Take a lot of confidence from that. Don't see it as a negative. See it as a positive, losing that in a funny sort of way.
Yeah.
And just go out there and say, right, we can beat these.
Well, it was good to see Danny White play.
Yeah, nice 50.
Well. I mean, I was watching him. Have you never played Test cricket before?
Well, I know.
Such
weird.
A good player.
Yeah. I know. Weird.
Dangerous in the middle. She should be playing all the time now. And hopefully she'll play the next few years of Test match cricket and find that kind of role in the middle where she can almost be that aggressor.
Yeah. Because Sophia Dunkley was unfortunately not on form. Friend of the pod, we obviously had her on.
Yeah. Well, it happens, doesn't it? It's cricket. Yeah. You don't set out to have an iffy week, but when you're up against a bit of quality, there's going to be one or two, three, four.
Bowled nicely, Ashley Gardner. Bowled nicely. I'd always sort of seen her as a batter who sort of bowls nicely, you know, but obviously now, you know, she's just gone up the ranks of that. And you know, to do that, it gives you an amazing amount of confidence when you actually get 12 wickets, but I mean, you know, you put in a couple of performances which gets the team over the line. You know, as a spin bowler, you sort of feel right. Well, I can do this, so that'll be, you know, a great performance for her.
Yeah. One other match I want to mention was the Netherlands against West Indies in the ODI. Oh. Did you see this?
I saw the result.
You saw the result. So they tied after 50 overs.
Wow.
So it went to a super over. They both got 374, and then the Dutch player Logan van Beek. He was facing, and it was Jason Holder bowling. He hit 30 in the super over. three fours and three sixes.
Don't tell me they got beat.
No.
Oh,
no.
But he then bowled
yes.
the Dutch super over.
Oh, right.
He then bowled the Dutch super over,
yeah.
and he got 2 wickets for 8 runs.
Well, he's had a good game.
Beat the West Indies.
Yeah. He's had a good game.
I mean, they say cricket's a team sport.
Yes.
Not that night.
Was his ball as well?
Yeah, I've seen Jason Holden disappear at the end before. I've seen it in the IPL. Tim
30.
David got him in a game against Mumbai. That's a big... West Indies lost to Zimbabwe as well.
Yeah. Yeah, they're struggling.
They're struggling to qualify.
No. Only two qualify, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A World Cup without the West Indies.
Cool, blimey.
Ooh, that'd be horrible.
Yeah. Well, what a performance by the Netherlands.
Yeah. And Van Beek.
Yes.
Remember the name.
Remember the name. Van Beek.
It's not the Van Beek that tries to play midfield for Man U, is it?
If he's that much of an all-rounder.
Yeah,
fair play to him.
Yeah. Not the same.
And he's not a detective, is he? Oh, no, that's Van der Valk. Show me age.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well played, the Netherlands.
Right, that's all we have time for today, I'm afraid. Big thanks to Sir Geoffrey for joining us today. My thanks to Mike and Phil, as always, too. If you're new to the podcast, Mike, Phil and I will be here every Wednesday throughout the summer. You can check us out wherever you downloaded this podcast. We're also available on YouTube, via the Telegraph's YouTube channel. If you have any feedback for us, it's much appreciated. The address is cricketclub@telegraph.co.uk.
We're always very keen to hear from you, and we'll be back with you again next week. So till then, goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.